Hello, friends. Andy here. A little bit of context for this week's episode. We hosted a cube extravaganza this weekend with lots and lots of in-person drafts of paper cubes and had a good time doing it. One of the problems of planning the weekend was that I wasn't going to have time with Anthony to record a normal episode and edit it and get it out to y'all. So rather than skip a week, we decided to record what I'm going to call a live episode with a bunch of people we played cube with this weekend. So this episode has no structure, no topic, and the audio quality is decidedly worse because it is hard to record 12 people in one room. Very difficult, especially with two mics. So keep that in mind. And if this is your first episode, maybe skip it and just move on to a different normal episode of the show. Yeah, I hope everybody enjoys. And I'm going to go to bed because I'm tired. It was a long weekend.
We're live.
We're actually live. Welcome to Lucky Paper Radio. I'm your host, Andy.
This one's live?
It's not live. I'm your host, Andy, and as you can already tell, this is a very special episode of the podcast because we are not alone, but I'm here with my co-host, as always, Anthony, the host with the most Maddox, currently with 11 people in your basement. And you did take a big bite of potato salad right as we, all professionalism is out the window.
Usually you talk a lot more.
That's not true. Well, it's not the last episode.
It is kind of true.
Well, not in the intro.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. This is the longest intro ever.
Hey, it's great to see you.
No, sometimes you do. Sometimes do a whole thing. Look.
Some potato salad?
Okay, look here. I don't want potato salad. I want to say right up front, I don't want to edit this. I'm not going to edit this. So, first of all, nobody say your social security number. I don't want to hear mother's maiden names. I don't hear anything. This is not getting edited out. More importantly, if we
say each other's social security number.
That's fine. Yeah, this is like saying someone else's social security number.
We'll do it one number at a time. Seven.
One. No. It's an improv game.
Improv game.
We make them a social security number, and that becomes the identity of the person you're making. All right, look. If this is your first episode of the podcast, turn it off.
Right.
Stop. Pause the podcast. Go visit another episode. This is not a normal episode of the podcast, so don't let this be your introduction to the show. Go check out another episode. Maybe How I Invited Little Cube. I don't know, something else. We're here with a lot of people because we had an exciting... We're kind of in the middle of it. We still have more cube drafting to go. We are in the middle, maybe like back 40 of a cube extravaganza drafting weekend with out-of-town guests, in-town guests. I'm going to introduce everyone just in order because I don't want to forget anybody. And so sitting here in seat 1A...
What is the order? You've ordered us?
We're in a fucking
clockwise.
Clockwise.
To do what?
Draft.
Keep
it
moving.
First,
everyone just say your name at the same time.
Apple, Pickle, friends, and peers. No. I'm glad there's not going to be any awkward sounds because that was mostly what I wanted. Sitting in seat 1, not person 1, but seat 1, we have James, master of all Maddox-designed cubes.
Well, I lost today.
Yeah.
Must have been unseated. Finally.
I've been usurped.
How many 3-0s was it in a row? You said it was five?
5 3-0s in a row.
Wow. No one, not that anyone's counting, but...
what do you think makes you understand Anthony so well?
He could just be a good magic player, and I design weird cubes that take a creative problem solver to figure out.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I asked James, not you, Anthony.
Oh, sorry, right. I'm person number 7 or so. Selfie,
yeah, so.
Well, you get introduced. All right. Next up, we have the person who, of course, smuggled New York bagels across state lines for all of us to enjoy.
Despite COVID,
we have Alex. Thank you, Alex, for bagel smuggling.
Of course.
It's very important. Very important to have good bagels. And then, Daryl, you were like, what's my nickname going to be? Of course, your nickname is going to be, who's that tank engine again? What's that tank engine? Oh, yeah, Thomas. Except your name is Daryl. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Happy to be here. Choo-choo.
You have a lot of options. You could have been that. You could have been, my mom made this cake, Daryl. Because you just walked up.
I didn't make this cake.
I got to think of my mom made this cake, everybody. I probably said my mom made.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have...
free weekend, Daryl.
And then, of course, we have... Oh, y'all drafting a cube right now? Ankit just walks into the middle of the cube draft. Oh, y'all drafting a cube right now?
Hey.
If only there was some sort of schedule laid out. In very clear black and white shared with everyone.
I don't know how to read spreadsheets.
It's a spreadsheet. This particular data, I love spreadsheets. This particular data not suited to spreadsheets. And then, of course, wait, how was that nickname? Sorry, everybody. What was Daniel's? I forgot it. Oh, of course, Daniel, most definitely never playing against Mimic Fat ever again, Wheatley.
Oh yeah, never again. Nope.
One of the only return guests on the show. Not. You gotta speak up a little bit because you're sitting way back.
Yeah, hi.
Or get closer. You don't like Mimic Fat? No good?
Love Mimic Fat. Don't like it in a format where you can't remove artifacts.
Hmm. Who could possibly be responsible for some abomination like that?
Black is of course my favorite color, as everyone knows. I only play the one.
The listener's gonna get that joke.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense to them. Daniel, as you may know him from a previous episode, Daniel is the owner of the All Gold Cube, and Commander Deck Builder Extraordinaire. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
The joke was
he likes gold cards.
He likes gold cards.
Yes. You have to explain the joke.
But the listener doesn't know that. I was trying to bring everyone in. Uh-huh. I was trying to big tent.
We're going to cut this part out.
No, we're not. I'm not editing anything.
It's not edited.
This is an unedited podcast. Then we have...
Cut the part out about Daryl saying cut that part out.
That's not going to cut out either. All right, we're still only halfway around the room.
Jay said cut out the part.
Everyone cut it out.
Next up, we have the woman with the golden crack-packing hands, Allison. You are maybe second only to Josh in terms of opening pure value from booster packs. What's your secret?
Just do what I do.
You just
gotta get value.
You opened the foil Old Border Thoughtseize that I traded you like half of your new cube for. I was like, here, take all these cards for that one beautiful Thoughtseize.
And the Old Border Misty as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was that too.
Yep.
You do a pretty good job opening packs. I wish I had the golden touch. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we have Jay, 3-0 again.
Hi, Jay.
Congratulations on your 3-0 today.
The ringer.
That hand gesture doesn't communicate to the podcast.
Hand gesture.
There are some gestures happening.
And then, what was Sal's nickname? I wrote all these down
in
the
joke,
so I didn't mess them up. Oh, no, of course. Sal... Damn, you just eating that carrot straight up?
Like a true gangster?
Eating a raw carrot on the street?
Yeah, that's blown away. I couldn't deny it.
Viewers are going to get that one.
Yeah.
He has a carrot.
Everyone wants to feel like they don't quite get the look. Uh-huh. This is my theory.
I really like that because you get it. He was eating a carrot, and he was a real gangster.
Yeah.
He's the most gangster person you can think of. Bugs Bunny. Right there. Always just eating carrot.
There you go. Then we have Kennedy Schmigadoon in Twitter. Did I say that right?
Oh, you did.
Also, is it a bad word?
No, it's not.
What is Schmigadoon?
Schmigadoon is a parody of Brigadoon.
What's Brigadoon?
Brigadoon is a musical. I didn't know we were turning into a musical segment.
I don't care what we talk about at all, as long as I don't have to edit it. That's my only rule.
Not paid, but this is a plug to watch all of Schmigadoon.
All right.
In one setting, preferably.
Mm, with booze. That's how
Dan, how much did you drink last night?
I had like maybe 8 glasses.
You were mildly catatonic. I was like, is Daniel asleep? And you were like, no, I'm not asleep.
I'm fine. I'm great.
I'm glad you made it home safe and sound. And then finally, the last seat, we finally made it around the room. It only took 8 minutes. Parker, 2-mana 8/8 flyer Lamascus.
I am the wheel, just like Murktide Regent.
Did you wheel it?
No, yeah, I did.
You wheeled it. Oh, I love that card. It's so good. Kennedy and Parker have, of course, also been on the podcast before. We got new friends. We got old friends. Everybody's introduced. Now begin talking about Cube. Go ahead. Someone take it away.
Why is LED in DMC?
Great question. So,
is it a super important point?
I've been thinking about it all day.
You didn't,
what is this card for?
So look. So the main thing Lion's Eye Diamond is for in a degenerate microcube is Bomberman combo.
Bomberman combo.
With Ariok Salvagers.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of, that rarely comes together, but when it does come together, it's super sweet. I also think it does stuff with Emery. It kind of does stuff with Luris, if you're being extra spicy.
Yeah.
It does stuff with Gushla's Scepter. Does everyone know Magic Card All-Star Staple Gushla's Scepter? Gushla's Scepter. 0 mana for an artifact. You tap it to put a card from your hand under Gushla's Scepter, or take a card from under Gushla's Scepter and put it back in your hand.
I'm lost.
That's all it does.
Well, it's just an artifact for Tinker.
I mean, it's an artifact for Metalcraft.
One with nothing also does stuff with the Scepter in exactly the same way.
No, but the Scepter protects stuff from hand hate. It ups the count for your Solarian Academy. It's an artifact for Tinker. It's an artifact for Metalcraft unlocks Old Bull. And you tuck your spell under it. Next turn, crack your Lion's Eye Diamond, then put the spell back in your hand. Use all that mana to cast your spell.
Nice job. By that reckoning, we should be putting back.
I knew there was going to be an answer.
Ooh.
Back holding. Yeah, back holding.
No
the
back holding.
Back
of
holding with lions. Like,
how do you lose?
You only have to pay one more to crack the bag of holding to get all your cards back.
That's true. We have to make an environment now where bag of holding and lion's eye diamond coexist together.
He's got enough cubes. Don't give him any more ideas.
They're not all done yet. How many cubes are in the middle building, Anthony, but are not yet finished?
I have two in terms of like gathering in paper. I have two that are like 80% complete.
Okay.
In a box.
The long tail is hard when the mail will get delivered here in Baltimore.
Yeah, I actually haven't ignored them, so I can't blame.
I got all excited about getting some goblin tokens this weekend, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to order these and have them get lost in the mail. That'll be fun for me for a while.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Well, let's go one draft at a time. We've done 6 or 7 drafts at this point. The first draft of the weekend, though.
Did you introduce what was happening? I might have just been eating potato salad.
I thought it was pretty clear. It's a bunch of people that came and play a bunch of Cube. It's currently Saturday evening. We've been playing Cube since Friday evening. We have more Cube to play after this,
mm-hmm.
and then tomorrow morning. Got a lot of Cube to go. Let's just go one by one. So, Parker, we started off the event drafting your mid-range Cube. Do you have anything smart or interesting to say about it?
I have nothing smart to say. I just want to know what you guys thought.
What did everyone who got to draft Parker's Cube think about it?
I loved it.
Oh, thank
but
you.
I also won. So
you did.
That does inform my opinions of it.
Now, interesting. That cube does have a lot of gold cards. Daniel, I feel like you speak the language of gold cards. Did you feel like you were advantaged in that environment?
I felt it, and my first pack one pick one was Wrench Mind.
And what was your second pack one pick one?
Him to Turok.
Your second pack one pick one, Daniel. Come on.
Yeah. See, Daniel wasn't lying when he said black was the only color he played. Look.
I can't believe you started on Rich Mind. Parker's Cube.
That is really mind blowing.
Which is chock full of broken flexible cards, and you're like, Rich Mind.
Rich Mind.
And they got people
correct.
With it.
I mean, yeah.
So, I got
Rio,
it.
So follow the script,
Daniel. What else
was in that pack? But also speak up a little more, or get closer, or something.
I can do that.
Can we get one more chair?
Get in here, Daniel.
I'll just get on my knees.
not editing it, Daniel! I'm not editing the podcast!
No, I got
watch it.
I got Turok and his hymn. I got Asmo and her book. I got
got a legendary.
Wait, James, break it off for us. What's the name?
Asmo Random Arnica Dice and Nicole Cut.
That's what I had.
Asmo Random Arnica Dice and Nicole Cut. Okay, we got two people to know.
We finally got James.
So you had that. You had a lot of little two-card combos.
A lot of two-card combos. And then I ended up moving towards
Saint
Green.
Sebastian and his arrows and
Gimli and his axe.
Moses and the staff.
No, I just had I ended up going into a Golgari deck. And
did you just play two colors?
Just two colors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe three fixing lands. Like, I did not prioritize fixing very high.
Three fixing lands in Parker's Cube.
Yeah.
Parker's Cube has like 120 fixing lands.
Okay, so I did all of that.
You would have to actively try not to get more fixing lands in your colors, I feel like.
So I did
I'm so impressed right now.
I did all that, and then
this is what he does,
and
by
then,
the way.
Like,
yeah.
He defies all expectations and understanding about you think magic should work. He's like, I played a 65 card draft deck and I crushed everybody, and here's all my cards.
How big was your deck?
43 cards.
Only 43!
So,
now, if you know Daniel, that is reserved.
That's
for showing some restraint.
I was feeling very conservative. I ended up, like, at near the end of the draft, I worried that I might have needed to draft the lands, primarily because I wasn't sure if there would be basics or not. Like, I saw a lot of
So, part of my third draft, we were like, wait, do we get basics? Is this a desert cube? Do I have to have all my lands?
That was the worst. Well, we had four packs. We had more than I'm normally used to drafting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was four packs of 16.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's
there's a lot more
cards
than I had expected. So I was like, maybe I was supposed to get the lands as they went.
Did you ask?
And you go from that thought
ask, but like five
like
picks before.
Four.
Yeah.
As if you could have fixed it at that point.
Yeah.
I'll spend my last five picks on lands for sure if I don't get any basics after this.
Yeah, I had a Mishra's Bauble and Glissa.
Yeah,
I had, what?
Go on.
Oh, great. So I really ended up drafting more value than I normally go after. It was a lot of fun.
I feel like you're normally a value-oriented drafter.
No, I usually prioritize whatever the gold card is that I get first, and then okay. I just filter around that.
That's a kind of value.
Or Legion's Landing. That's the
you
other.
Do love Legion's Landing.
That is like I think my all-time favorite draft card.
You're such a complicated creature, and I love you for it.
Thank you. I don't like to be simple.
All right. What other observations do we have, if any, from the draft of Barker's Cube, other than Daniel coming in and doing what I think Daniel does, which is to say, just dissecting
whatever.
The format handily. And doing what you're not supposed to do and then crushing everybody.
I really like the four packs of 14 with tons and tons of fetches and duels, just because like I feel like drafting three packs of 15, I'm always really sad by the end of pack three that
the draft is over and I got my magic?
Yeah, that my thing, yeah, well, sort of, but that my thing, my complicated thing that I was trying to do didn't come together, and then like pack four comes around and it's like, oh! Maybe I'll get there. Yeah. And sometimes I do. This time it was okay.
Did you get into the pack four and have that same sinking feeling though?
No, I thought my deck was going to be sick, and then I read my card after I pitch cast Fury and then ephemerated it on turn one.
Oh,
realized that it didn't hit
I
face.
I do remember that.
And then I said, oh no. And
yeah.
then I
oh,
totally
no.
lost that game.
Boy, if Fury can hit face,
yeah.
burn.
It would be
tier
weird.
Zero. Every format Fury is legal in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's good. It's not. Doesn't like, come to find out.
Anyway, I thought about it. I think they did a good job deciding the first three
yeah.
and not ruining people's entire days.
Yeah,
that was a good draft, I thought. And then we parlayed seamlessly, just like this beautiful segue, into drafting Alex's Pauper Cube. Alex, you had mentioned that you had made so many changes to this cube since you last played it on account of pandemic reasons that you had no idea how it was going to play. How were we happy with how it played?
Yeah, it was. I mean, Modern Horizons 2 was like, of course, like completely bananas.
Yeah,
like. I got hit with, what's it called, Captured by Lagax, because I'm like, all right, I can't actually beat this card.
Dude, Captured by Lagax was so sick. I loved casting that card so much, it brought me a lot of joy.
You know, like, Volt Key was indeed, as Parker said, completely excellent.
What does that card even do? What's the rule set of Volt Key? Can you know?
Well, the important part is it mutates for 2 and a white, and it's a 2/3 flyer, and it gets a counter when it mutates. And a 3/4, I think, just outsizes 90% of the creatures in that format.
You just wanted a 3/4 flyer.
I really wanted something with 4 toughness.
Volpikeep was just the medium.
It was the cheapest. Yeah, it was the cheapest one. Yeah.
So yeah, Captain Brylagax was great. What else? What are the highlights for you in terms of the watching people play in the cube? With all the new cards.
Let's see. Unfortunately, aggro actually did pretty decent, which I was quite.
You had a 12 land aggro deck
yeah.
and a Pauper Cube, which I thought was very spicy. And that worked. It was scary.
I mean, of course, there are games where it didn't work, where I drew, zero land.
We're not talking about that yeah. right now. We're talking about the times it worked. Yeah, I managed to pull down 3-0 there. I had a really good time winning all the games. That's always fun. Then I did my screen wide mid-range deck. I was particularly thrilled by, what's the Heliod's...
Heliod's Pilgrim,
the 3-drop that scooters up at Aura. I loved having a little package of, I had Captured by the Gax, I had Reprobation 2 as a little removal spell, and I also had Armadillo Cloak, and it's like, oh, well this little 3-drop just turns into, do you want to absolutely smash face, or do you want to remove something? Or in the case of Captured by the Gax, do you want to remove something and also absolutely smash face? Those are your two options.
Mm-hmm.
I was also really impressed particularly with your aggro deck, which I thought, I've heard people mention this like, go wide, red-white tokeny aggro deck before. I've never really seen it shine, I felt like. Hmm. You had a lot of combat tricks, which I notoriously am like very,
yeah.
I'm scared of them, it's the truth. It's not that I think they're bad, it's that I'm scared that they're gonna go bad for me. And I'm gonna be stuck with them in my hand with nothing to put them on. But your deck had a great combination of lots of little token makers, which means you always had something to throw your combat tricks on. I gotta talk about Mutagenic Growth.
Hmm.
This is a Phyrexian mana, +2/+2 pump spell at instant speed. That card's kind of broken? It's kind of fucked up?
I don't know. Like, it's like a 2/3 of Giant Growth, which is like not a good magic card, but it costs 0 mana.
You're an Anthony's turf. You can't go talking trash around Giant Growth.
I have Giant Growth in the cube. It's an excellent card, but like +2/+2 is just like, do I really spend a card on this? But it's 0 mana.
Against me, it was just oftentimes essentially removal. It was like, this is going to now eat a blocker, something's going to die in combat where it wasn't going to die before, so a free
yeah.
removal spell. Or it was a free physical removal spell, because I could point a burn spell or something at it, or some damage was on it, and then you saved it from something.
Yeah.
That was a disaster. And at 0 mana, you already, I don't think you play around combat tricks that well in cubes in general, just because if it's singleton, there's so many, such a variety of combat tricks you could have to be aware of. But once it one cost zero mana, I was just like, I'm not playing around anything. I'm just gonna throw everything into the pit, and if it gets hit by mutagenic growth, I'm gonna lose. And I did it a couple times. It was good, very powerful. Other thoughts?
Most of the format's removal is damage based.
Correct.
Except
yeah.
for black and a little bit of white, you get Oblivion Ring and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of Oblivion Rings and pacifism-y style stuff.
Yeah, so mutagenic growth kind of acts like a zero mana blossoming defense in that it gives pseudo hexproof for
yeah.
a lot of removal.
Yeah, because I try to make like removal like toughness based, so you can actually like stick a 5/5
mm-hmm.
like, and like not feel like you lost the game immediately.
Yeah.
Or a 3/4 flyer and
yeah.
it's a Bulba Key.
Yes, mm-hmm. and it's great. But
I think we do have to touch on the Monarch. I heard a lot of Monarch groaning. and now it started again.
Yeah.
I didn't play any games where a Monarch token was made, so who did? Who's got thoughts?
I drew one card off the Monarch that my creature made me the Monarch,
uh-huh.
and then James took the Monarch from me and drew 7 or 8 cards over the next 7 or 8 turns.
Could this have been for 7 or 8 turns?
I don't know. Maybe it was only 3 turns. It felt like 7 or 8 turns.
It was a while.
Drew 8 cards.
Like, I got the Monarch, I played Crypt Rats and wiped the board.
Like, I saw that exact moment where I saw you blow up the whole board, and I was like, why is he doing that? And Seth went, oh no. And I noticed the Monarch token, and I'm like, that's why he's blowing up the whole board.
He looked over and just said, it's good to be king. Turns
out.
I continued playing that game after I really
I appreciate
the scoop.
That,
scoop,
I do.
But, you know, never give up, never surrender.
I feel like Crypt Rats has figured into multiple different cubes. Like,
I love
that. That's been very impactful.
What Crypt Rats stories do you have for the Mono Black Cube today?
It just killed everything.
The one thing Crypt Rats always does.
The one thing?
I guess that's true.
You just don't see it coming.
But it does it very reliably. Anyway, Monarch one-on-one still not my favorite mechanic. I don't know. I got questions about it. I'm glad to see that Fall from Favor was not in the cube. That
oh, that's
yeah.
it was in for one iteration. I played it once. I'm like, no,
that's
like
not
this card's out of here.
One choice. If you think you're like captured by the Gax, what if it threw you n number of cards, where n is the number of more turns this game continues to go on? That's
the
Fall from
Favor has like the Planeswalker feel of just like you play your Planeswalker, like you play your Jace the Mind Sculptor, bounce your thing, and then
oh
you
yeah.
Get
yeah, but. Pauper. It's
yeah.
only 3 mana, so that's something. What's the next cube we drafted? I can't keep this straight.
We drafted 2 more cubes. We drafted.
No.
Oh wait, did we draft another cube?
Was it more cube drafts last night?
I thought it was just Andy's.
I think it was just mine this morning, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Bun,
yeah, here's this
bun,
morning,
bro.
And then Brea cube.
Yeah, then we did the Bun Magic cube this morning. I'm curious what people thought of the cube. I haven't done a full 8 in paper in a long time. Pandemic times.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some digital drafts, but the first time we did a full 8 in paper. Who's got thoughts? Roast me.
I love the Bun Magic Cube, but I didn't get to play it today. Which, you know, I'm not salty about it. I think it's a really. I think it's a really.
No,
I think
no,
it's a
no
really,
I thought you were salty about it until you said it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we
no,
all
I'm
like
so mad
it.
Though. No, I.
It's
no, I just,
salt weekend.
No, I just want to like big
weekend.
Up the cube. I think it's really good.
Who
you
won?
Broke the curse.
What was the winning deck?
I managed to win with Mono Red.
What?
Okay.
I saw you building it.
Y'all suck.
I saw you building it.
Okay, look, finally, now that I finally won, I can confess my greatest shame on the podcast, which is that for the 5 years I've had my cube of paper, I've never 3-0'd a clean 8-player draft before, ever. It's always like, if I won, somebody dropped, or there was a bunch of draws, or it was a 6-player draft or something. It was the first time I ever 3-0'd a solid 8-player draft. It felt good.
Yeah.
Don't give me those patronizing glasses. No, no, no.
Oh,
no, no, no.
These are authentic. You can eat it.
Mono Red was not fully open. I did force it a little bit. My first 2 picks, there was not much in the packs. I took Goblin Guide and then into something else. And I was like, I'm just going to do this. It wasn't actually particularly open, it turned out.
It wasn't.
Thank you, Kennedy, for taking most of my burn spells. But I ended up with a list that... I want to talk a little bit about Fiery Confluence, because I feel like Fiery Confluence... is in some circles regarded as like a huge bomb. Like, I think it'll pull you into red.
Yeah.
It's an incredible cube, like all star or whatever. And
Daryl, your face thinking about Fiery Confluence, you're like, it's a card. It's a delight.
Did it happen to me recently?
It's
was
like
I to the Confluence recently?
You just made a face.
Oh, I love it. I think Fiery Confluence is broken.
Well, in some circles, some people are like, it's a 4-mana spell that you just don't want to put 4-mana cards in your aggro deck. You'd much rather have another 1-drop, another 2-drop or something. Did people forget about the aggro mirror? I feel like people forget about the aggro mirror. And it's so important to have cards like that where it's like, this can go to face, like it did against Anthony a couple times. Or in the aggro mirror, it's just a board wipe. You just have a board wipe in your aggro deck now. It's messed up. I think it's really strong and well worth its high mana cost. Anyway, I ended up with a deck that had a lot of, I think, interesting outs for other aggressive decks. Like, if I played against a hard control deck, I think I would have struggled because I didn't have a super low to the ground curve, but I ended up being kind of more middling against other fast decks, which was the field I happened to face. It worked out.
And Anthony, this is why you should have let me win our match, so I could have beaten Andy.
Well, I didn't know. It was going to be hard to beat either Battle Skull or Murktide Regent.
It was a real game. We had a real match in the championship, you and me.
We did. It was real games. Yeah. I did have the Fiery Confluence or Battle Skull, which was important. And then there was another game where I didn't. That was one of the games I did. We went to 2-1. Battle Skull's hard to beat as a mono red deck, it turns out.
I enjoyed this draft. So this doesn't speak to anything about the cube, but I had an interesting experience where I felt like in the middle of pack one, I was like, oh, like I've taken a bunch of pretty narrow, not very flexible mono white aggro cards. And then I was like, white.
That's
is
called
not
forcing it. You're just forcing it.
I wasn't forcing it. No, I was like trying to take the best card out of the pack.
Okay.
But I could have been a little bit more. I mean, I took Ancient Tomb pack one, like not that narrow.
Yeah, that's open.
And then like middle of pack one, I was like, oh no, white is not open. I have screwed up. I have to like find a new path. And like, I'm going to ban a couple of these picks. And then, like, really notably, I got a couple of wheels where I was like, okay, this isn't, like, a huge wheel, but there was only this other white card in the pack. So, like,
you felt like you were actually reading the table.
Right, right. Even though it felt like I wasn't really getting rewarded late in pack one, I felt like I had a clear path and I was doing okay. And I think that panned out well. It was also interesting. I feel like I've drafted mono white or like white X with a little bit of black or something a couple times recently in this cube. And this was one where I was like, okay, I finally have like Stoneforge and all the pieces I need, plus the sideboard plan.
Mm-hmm.
I have Monastery Mentor, and I actually am like thinking about how well I can support it and have a lot of ways to make it work. I never made a monk token, but that's fine. We're not the universal story. I did have Thalia, yeah.
Thalia Monastery Mentor deck, the classic?
No, the other Thalia. I didn't have the two-mana Thalia.
Two-mana Thalia,
yeah,
okay.
That was fine.
Sure.
Our
most notable game I do have to mention, which was our first game of the finals. I won without doing a single point of combat damage to you, because what happened is you paid 4 life for your Danto Vanguard twice, so that's 8. And then
let's just talk in terms of value. So I've done nothing. I've destroyed 2 of your creatures.
And then you tapped your. One was half of a bird spell. It was just half of a forked bolt. You're like, I'll pay 4 life for that.
Yeah,
like, I'm happy turning this into a kill that other thing plus a better lava spike.
Uh-huh.
Then you tapped your Ancient Tomb 3 times.
Yeah,
you tapped your Ancient Tomb 3 times, and then I hit you with the Fiery Confluence. And that was the game. That's 20. That's how you capture 20.
Hey, you only have one card left in hand. I felt like I was doing pretty good.
It was a spicy one, for sure. Then we went down to Nolan Beyond for our first concurrent cube draft. Simultaneously,
we skipped Brand Cube.
Yeah. No, Brand Cube.
We got to talk about Brand Cube.
It was a 4-person.
But it was
right, no, I want to talk about Brand Cube.
It was a 4-person, but it was an 8.
Brand Cube was important. So I've never actually talked about my ridiculous draft strategy on the podcast. And I'm not in detail. And I'm not going to do it now either.
No,
so,
please.
Okay. I know I didn't do it because I alluded to it. And then I got a bunch of people that DM'd like, what's that method? And I had to like try and write it up. It's so complicated. But you did a 4-player draft of the Brand Cube that tried my ridiculous, somewhat complicated 4-player double-decker draft format.
I don't think it's that complicated or ridiculous. I just think it is, like, everybody's drafting 2 decks, and that is so much of a different experience and so much harder to draft 2 decks at once. I think you're overselling it by saying, like, oh, if you only have 4 people, like, this is a good thing to do. Like, this is just a bad or, like, configuration.
I'm overselling it.
Times.
Yeah. I'm overselling it by saying it's a good thing to do.
I just think you sold, maybe not oversold it, you sold it in a very casual way, just like, in the way you might say, like, oh, yeah, like, if you're drafting 4 people, like, just do, like, 4 packs of 11.
You're overhyping
like,
it.
That's a casual thing you can say, do 4 packs of 11, it's gonna be easy. But when you're saying, like, this, do a thing that's twice as complicated, it's not, like, a substitution, is what I'm saying. Would you like a different and twice as hard experience?
Yeah.
That would be a problem.
Well, people who drafted this, would you do it again if you had 4 people?
Huh.
Would you do the same
It felt like a really good system, and it was fun drafting 2 decks, because it just, you felt way more engaged with the draft experience. It is a little, like, of a headache to bounce back and forth.
Some ibuprofen was
surprised. James literally
came over after the draft and was like, do you have drugs or Tylenol or anything? My head hurts so bad.
It is interesting to, like, you know what you're going to wheel for your other deck sooner than you might normally.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
kind of
think you might know. Sounds leveled up.
There were a couple of times where, like, that was like what I drafted around. It's like, I think I can get this back for my other deck.
Yeah.
But at some point,
yeah, I mean, you are drafting like the 2 seats opposite on the table, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the way the format ends up working out is you are basically virtually drafting your seat and the seat opposite the table for you. So you can see a pack and say, well, in three picks, my other deck is going to get a card from this pack. And
like
so
drafting for
you have a little more information about how much you're going to wheel. That's what I like to not try and think about at all because I find it paralyzing and headache inducing. So I basically just
that's what happens.
I try as much as possible to ignore that and just be like two track brain. Like now I'm drafting my red white aggro deck. Now I'm drafting my blue black control deck and not even think about it. I actually think my biggest criticism of that draft format, which we've done a few times, is that I often find you end up the correct thing feels like drafting almost two of the same deck because you're across the table from the other player, and so it's like. If a color is open on one side, it's probably more or less open on the other side.
And I think I absolutely did that, right? Like, one, it's the Brea Cube, so we are missing a whole color, right? So we never at any point felt like we were, like, cut out of a color because there was so much more to go around.
That's a lot of artifacts, so that pads a lot of...
Right, a lot of colorless cards helps,
And I ended up doing two black-white decks. One was an enchantment theme. And one was a Bolas's Citadel theme.
And how does one build a Bolas's Citadel theme deck?
You get a lot of things that make servos and tokens so that you can sacrifice
servos.
10.
Oh, right. That line's like Bolas's Citadel.
I love it. That's This is why I asked the question. Because when Daniel says he built a certain deck, you might think you might know what he means, but no. Daniel's like, I need a lot of non-land farms to sacrifice to activate your ability.
I will also say, I didn't want to say this in the draft, but...
I hate that cube.
No, I like first packed Bolas of Citadel in one and first packed Hall of Heliod's Generosity in the other. And then I passed the...
That's a weird... Keep going. I love when Anthony interrupts and then says, keep going immediately. That's my favorite.
The problem was that I was trying to focus on the things that were going to fit in each deck, right, as I'm going around. And I passed Sensei's Divining Top, like, twice, not realizing that it had passed through on the Bolas's side of the deck.
Right.
I definitely should have picked that up and didn't. And then by the time I realized that it should have happened, it was already too late.
That is one of the challenging things about that draft format. And there's a lot of feelings like, oh, I wish I was picking for the other deck right now, but I'm not. It's very sad.
Yeah.
But I still prefer it to other four-player draft formats, even though Anthony sounds like he thinks it's
definitely
not.
I think it's totally a reasonable, interesting format. I just think saying it like casually, try this if you're doing four players is
it's an investment.
About like, do you want
it's
to
a time and cognitive load investment. The thing I like most about it though is that I feel like you end up with decks that are almost one for one, comparable to a player draft.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to like learn about how your cube drafts with eight players, but you only have four, I think it's worth all the extra effort because
it is interesting in that
if
you don't sideboard in that format though.
What do you mean?
So the way we played it is you wind up with two decks. You play one deck, they play one deck. For game two, you switch to the other deck, and then game three, you choose your opponent's deck, which doesn't really actually leave room for sideboard.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I guess you could in game three after your deck's chosen.
Wait, you
theoretically.
You don't draft the full cube.
You do.
You do draft the full cube.
You don't sideboard
per person.
The point is, you only ever play each deck once, unless you get to game three.
So you
have no opportunity to sideboard because you're
playing
the deck
once. Oh, that's what you mean. Okay, sure.
Yeah. But when I've played before, I do allow people to sideboard after
in
game three.
Yes.
You know, if you're going.
I mean,
into
you could
it.
Also like do matches with every single deck, like three best of three matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a separate choice of saying you're doing this like what are they called like duo match or whatever for well it did in some professional format.
I would love to do that, but I don't know if everyone has the same.
Just the same enthusiasm, fortitude. Same enthusiasm and fortitude to carry people through. Anyway, that's a great draft format. I like it. It is more complicated. Anthony is not wrong. You're signing up for something. I like to do it kind of slowly and casually. Like, I would not want to do it if I was trying to, like, absolute spike it. Because it gets
exhausting. Which we are all trying
exhausting.
To do.
Always.
Yep. There's always a careful balance. Because games are really fun if you're trying to win. Otherwise, it's not.
So who won?
Well,
we only played two matches, but Max to it.
Max couldn't make the record. So, shout out to Max. Nickname, won the Brea Cube, quad draft. All right, sorry for almost missing the Brea Cube. There's too many cubes, I can't keep track of all
so
the drafts.
Cubes.
Then we went down to Null and Beyond, we did a simultaneous draft of the Mono Black Cube and the Degenerate Micro Cube. Where should we start there? I'm so tired.
Let's do DMC, because that draft took half the time.
The draft did go fast. I always try and sell people on the cube by saying that the drafting games go super fast, and then every once in a while I'm made to be an awful liar, and like, a single match drags on for 1 hour. Just
oh great,
just
so
hours.
It's gonna be so fast.
I had three turn one kills. Three turn one kills. Now you, I think some people question the value of channel in this environment, and I think you proved that channel can hold its own.
Yeah, I mean a big part of.
I saw you win one game, and then after you won, you remembered, oh yeah, I forgot to take my extra turn for casting Emerald, so I actually won a turn earlier.
Like we said, we're playing tight, we're all spikes here.
Part of how I like to draft that cube is to have multiple combos that go from different angles. So I had Channel, Sneak Attack, and the Dark Depths combo.
You managed to put every single Eldrazi Titan in your 15 card deck.
I regret putting all three. But it didn't really matter.
I messed up, but y'all are scrubs, so it didn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You had enough ways to get into play that it totally worked. I talk about my good drafts, I gotta talk about my bad draft. My good draft went way off the rails. I did not have really any way to win a game. I had okay ways to remove threats and control the board, and then it was like, I sure hope I can kill my opponent with this Mesmeric Fiend.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, another part of the approach I have to that cube, because I've freed the past couple times I've drafted, and
it was your nickname.
But I know you and a lot of other people who draft that like to draft the more kind of disruptive creature kind of decks,
mm-hmm.
and I find just like going straight in for the auto win strategy is way more conducive to actually 3-0-ing. The draft,
the wins.
Where
I think
the fair match just like are they're 2-1 central.
I think this could be a little bit of what I call the LSV effect, where like you are a very experienced practice Magic player, and I think it's possible that whatever you decided to do in the Dira Mecha Cube, you'd have a lot of success.
Interesting, yeah.
And so, I don't know.
I was really good at casting turn one Emrakul. I showed a lot of skill doing that, all getting to 5 and casting turn one.
I forced it once.
Yeah, that's true.
I did have a game against Sal though, where I was going to win, if not for the fact you were going to gain 5 life every third to fifth turn.
And shuffle my
mortality. Well, I didn't. But you were only shuffling answers to things that I already had in play. It was all that was going to matter is you were going to gain life, and I couldn't race you fast enough for my dumb little dinky threats. The cube, that cube is always a work in progress. I think I might make it bigger.
Whoa.
I actually do turn like the idea of having a third cube. Because one of the hard parts of drafting it is, if you like mess up during the draft, your deck is unplayable.
It's over. Yeah, you screwed up. Yeah, it is. You can completely derail a draft with that, which is what I did today. Because
like my deck was not functional in pack one.
I would describe my deck as almost unfunctional. I mean, I did like steal 2 games basically, but it was not a good deck. Barely did anything.
Mm-hmm. Would you change the deck size at all?
No, I would keep the deck size the same. I would just let you draft more cards in some way, mm-hmm. mostly because I want to fit a little more fixing in.
Yeah.
I feel like that would open up more options for deck building if you had more fixing.
Hmm.
Probably could break Singleton though, because I'm out of good 5-color fixing.
Also, there's so many like kind of weird situational cards. Like you have a lot of like the kind of the tappers, like the Pacification Array, and stuff like that, where you would only really play that card in your deck if you didn't have anything else and you're just really scared of dying to sneak attack.
That's pretty good. It's artifact.
I'm scared of dying to sneak attack.
You can kill people
in real life.
What I'm saying is, if you had an extra pack, you can afford to take stuff like that. And
also
cards
right
you actually
now,
want to play. Okay, no one's excited to play. Put that card in their deck.
That is true.
I was not excited.
That is a much cleaner way to put it. No one is excited about Pacification.
Especially when you play a flavor text. A pitch has the degenerate combo cube.
Yeah.
And you're like, you got to put this like random, like,
right?
This draft common
Gush the September,
because it's, like, kind of good at beating the degenerate stuff. If you want to play something that's non-degenerate.
Which one is Pacification Array?
It's one
like
mana
really
for
bad
artifact, and you can pay two and tap it to tap target creature.
It's a shitty Icy.
Yikes.
Except it doesn't cost 4 mana.
It does
cost
stuff.
4 mana.
I believe it or not. It only costs 1
it did
mana.
Nothing
is there
in my
anything
deck,
you would consider breaking Singleton for outside of lands?
Titan Kaladin.
Scepter.
Don't you come after my scepter.
Everyone gets a Lotus Petal.
Because like certain cards like Aether Spellbomb just like so overperform and are like unique to that environment.
I think if you get multiple, it would ruin it. It would become Aether Spellbomb the format.
I kind of love Aether Spellbomb.
Yeah, it's
I beat Mark who had both of them and I ground through both of them with my deck.
Seal removal and Aether Spellbomb.
Yeah, he had both of them put
in.
And
you had Emrakul, and that was like 2 answers to Emrakul, and it didn't matter.
He had an Assassin's Trophy and both of those in play. For my dark depths, and I beat both of them.
I love how happy you are about this. And Mark is not here to defend himself. He has to work at the local game store, keep it running. Allison, you pulled down the undefeated record in the Mono Black Cube draft. How did you do it?
We played Gonti. We made Daryl over here very salty.
Fucking awful.
That's me. And Daryl, I love you.
I love it too.
I love everything about you.
Probably too.
You are a very impassioned gamer.
Oh yeah.
A very impassioned elite gamer. You don't like to lose.
I hate losing.
You don't like to lose. And so you began Cube Weekend Friday afternoon by saying like, everybody, it's No Salt Weekend.
Yeah.
And then you proceeded to skip the first four cube drafts. Yep. And I was like, Daryl is succeeding. So far, it is No Salt Weekend.
He showed up with cake and he wasn't salty about it.
The thing is that the queues filled so quickly too that because
it's hard to organize this whole thing.
Well, and I just you sent out the document and immediately the Bun Magic Cube was full, and that was the one that I would have wanted to do. I mean, I would have loved to draft Borea too. Hey, I'm down. I've had fun and I'm looking forward to like Turbo Cube and shit. But I would have the reason I didn't draft any cubes I did draft today, but the reason I didn't this morning was just because I wanted to do Bun Magic Cube.
We'll get you next time.
Yeah, I'm hyped about that.
We're gonna fire him again. Anyway, you made Daryl salty on his No Salty Weekend, Allison.
Yeah,
How dare you?
He maintained his composure.
You know,
it was very hard. I got really mad.
Daryl's like, I want you on notes. You felt,
I got
whatever
super
you felt, how salty
mad.
You thought I was actually like 5 or 10 times.
Look, I really like Allison. And
yeah,
there was a moment where I was like, if I speak to Allison right now, I'm just not going
to
put our
like,
relationship in jeopardy.
Like, put a land down, put your removal spell, point at the creature, just saying no.
Daryl takes his losses gracefully and also plays every match, every time.
That'd be very kind. I had a really good deck, though. This is the thing. Okay, Dale Barron, who is not here and
mm-hmm.
who is a legend,
yeah.
His draft rule is never say that you have a good deck.
It's a very good rule.
Always
it's
say that your deck is bad.
Deck. Don't
and
even say the
win,
bad deck.
Don't say it right.
Don't say
but
anything.
Don't say it's
all
good.
All you're serious about for is to look like a stupid idiot when you either think of a bad deck and
every
then
time.
Go. Yeah.
Every time I draft, I'm like, this deck is awesome. And then when I lose, I'm so mad because it's my fault and I suck.
I have learned this in a little bit of streaming Anthony and I have done. So often we'll draft our decks and then I'll be uploading the video and I'll see it and be like, oh, my deck didn't go so well. And then easy for you. Or I'll be like, this deck's pretty good. And an easy clap. I got no wins. Deck did nothing. And it's like, look, you look so dumb. Just don't say anything. I try to say anything.
Every deck I draft is a masterpiece.
Okay, well, that would be a fun little ironic thing if it was anyone else saying it, Jay. But instead, it's just a little braggy.
Yeah. All right, I'll say one more thing about Black Cube. I drafted Mimic Vat, which is like power in that cube,
yeah,
and it's basically unbeatable. And in game one,
turn eight.
Allison immediately gaunted it off the top
oh.
of my deck, and I knew it. I was like, it's not in my hand. I bet they're looking at it right now. And then she played it, and I died. And I wanted to go home and not play Magic anymore.
What's your
fault? But you didn't. You stayed and then
I
were in
stayed
game those
in,
night.
And I flooded out game two and I meditated for a couple minutes and now I'm fine.
Great. Allison, now we hear your side of the story.
Yeah, so I ended up drafting, I think played the Mono Black Cube maybe once before, but I'm honestly not certain. And so I got a couple, my only thought was like draft value cards or like some synergy. And I got pulled in a weird direction between zombies and vampire tribal.
We've all been there. So great offers on both sides.
And then, and then I ended up getting Gonti pick one, pack two, and then I got past a recurring nightmare. So I was like, okay,
yeah.
So this is what we're doing.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of game.
Who did that?
Yeah. I mean, Daniel was...
Is that you?
Nope, nothing to do with me.
I would not
I can't,
do that.
I think I got... It might have been Recurring Nightmare Pack 3,
What's
actually.
A Recurring Nightmare?
Cool.
there, that's why.
Is it banned in Commander?
Yes.
Because that's why I don't know it.
It's the banned in Commander one, yeah.
It's busted as hell.
So I ended up with this like value deck, but that didn't have a lot of really good value creatures that you could continuously generate value.
You had Gonti.
I had Gonti, yes, but the problem is that
you had
like
filigree familiar.
I couldn't
time for the 3-0 drafter to talk about the ways in which their deck is bad.
It was very hard for me to generate board presence to continuously loop through Recurring Nightmare. So the problem would be is that I didn't have a lot of creatures with Enter the Battlefield effects. And so I think my game against Max, that was round two, he was playing an aggressive deck that had like all of the black one drops that will recur themselves. And we just took the same game action turn and turn again as we each continued to draw lands because I'm just recurring my same loop that's not getting me much more value, but it's stalling the board. And he's attacking into it and just bringing back his creatures. And
you won.
I did win, but it was grueling. And it didn't help that there it was super hot. I was dehydrated.
So hot.
It was like, by the time I got to round three,
I was like, this was a trauma for you. I'm so sorry. I was trying to give you a chance to be like, my deck was cool. I stole Daryl's Mimic Vet.
I mean, that was fun. Don't get me wrong. But
you're like, the tag on my shirt was scratching my neck. And I'm having an allergic reaction to the magic cards.
I got up from round two and I was lightheaded. I told Anthony, I was like, give me 5 minutes to chug some water before I just collapse.
That's healthy, hydrate. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to ask.
I had like a migraine after we finished our games, by the way, which
you won.
I did win, but it was Planeswalker control against like Recurring Nightmare control.
Yeah.
I milled you out game two. That's how long it took.
Yeah,
almost
yeah.
Milled you out game
that
one.
That was a weird angle, yeah. Yeah.
And then I just got lucky game three and curved out on you. I mean, it was you mulliganed and
yeah.
I curved out on you and I...
Yeah, I mulliganed to a reasonable hand and just didn't do it. Just felt stupid. Mm-hmm. You really clowned on me.
With your
deck that wasn't that good on you made my deck feel stupid.
You should have channeled Emrakul.
Yeah.
Oh, and then after all of it, realizing that I should have been playing a card in the main deck and would have made everything a lot easier.
Oh, you think you could have 3-0'd more?
Yeah. I think I could
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel.
I think I could have speed run this draft in a more efficient manner. That's what it's all about.
So you're glad you won, but it took so long it gave you a headache. So you wish you could have conquered everybody more quickly.
Yeah. There's a lot of optimizing we can do to this run, so I foresee future runs.
Have opportunities to save frames here and there. Now, Daniel, I gotta say, I think you did a beautiful job of just giving a great example of clear human communication after you played a game against Daryl, which is you turned to Anthony. You said, Anthony,
I will never play this again until you take the Mimic Vet out. I think that's a very strong but a reasonable take.
It's fine. I've played it twice. I've lost to it twice.
Okay.
I don't need to do it
would
again.
Else
so Anthony, spotlight turns to you.
Would anyone else like to nominate any other cuts from the Black Cube? Gonti!
Sorry.
No, I'm just talking.
Swamp.
Gonti.
I like
Swamp. You
okay.
Got swamp.
Every
color
I like
you
Swamp.
Land. So I
like Gonti.
I really enjoyed playing the color of slams.
No.
They're not
it's a trap.
You're a trap.
I mean, you. Whoa.
Wow.
I mean, James.
Andy, don't get too spicy. I'm not editing this one. Be careful.
James, you did not 3-0. And the person that did 3-0 had a colorless land in their deck.
Shit!
Maybe we should do
talk some shit.
You 3-0'd Allison. Should we cut Mimic Vet?
Yes.
Okay.
You should probably also cut Gonti
and
recurring. No, Kalidus is fine.
Ooh,
I think Kalidus is good Kalidus because
is
you need graveyard.
You have a lot of removal.
There is a lot of removal.
Kalidus dies to removal.
Yeah, and you need
Gonti
graveyard.
You already stole your Booster Tutor or your Mimic Vet, in my experience.
I won't draft your Kalidus.
I think
Gonti.
Recurring Nightmare.
We got dueling friends.
Is also pretty suspect because there are recurring Nightmare.
Yeah.
It's the one banned in Commander.
But I can't play it in Commander, so I gotta play it somewhere.
That's
just repetitive. That's my issue.
That is an interesting aspect of this discussion. Like, so the idea with the black cube is just, let's have a colorless cube with no color, and can we still have diverse archetypes and interesting gameplay?
Mm-hmm.
and especially like interesting draft. And I chose black for lots of reasons. It's very cool. There's lots of flexibility, diversity, and things that the cards can do. But there is a little bit of a trend in a lot of black cards to be somewhat repetitive because it is about like the graveyard and recursion and sacrificing your own things.
That's interesting.
There are a lot of patterns.
How much graveyard hate is there in there?
There could be more. I mean, also, I think a lot of it doesn't get played. Like, I feel like we're still...
It's not valued enough. People aren't taking it highly enough.
What's that?
Clinger Dust in there?
Yeah.
I think that card's great.
Her Nightmare's also really weak to discard spells.
I'm not sure we say really weak.
It's the same amount of weak as every other card.
There are multiple Clinger Dust,
too. You can't get rid of enchantments.
Sure, there are a bunch of... There is a lot of graveyard hate. And it's interesting, like, we drafted maybe 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and somebody who...
And I'm 3-0'd Allison.
Well, I wasn't... I wasn't there, so clearly...
But it was interesting.
Now that I am here...
Run it back!
Turn it back, draft.
Let's do it again.
I'm sorry, not the last three drafts.
Was I at any of those drafts?
Y'all gotta settle this shit, man.
Because it was interesting in the previous draft, somebody who was pretty new to it was the first one drafted Black Heat, they were like, zombies, I'm gonna take all the zombies, and they
did that.
Wither Branch. Excellent. A different person.
One time I did that.
What was your experience drafting?
I killed with that shit. That was insane. You were like, I gotta cut zombies. I was like, don't do that.
Wait, is Aki the reason you cut zombies from that cube? Because you did cut a little bit of the zombie tribal support.
Did I?
You did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 4 months ago, you were like, I'm just cutting back on this a little bit. It's a little too spicy.
Huh, we'll put some more zombies in there. Let's get zombies. So anyway, my point was they picked up Withered Wretch because they were like, this is a zombie card, I'm gonna put this in my zombie deck. And at the end of the draft, they were like, oh, this card I just thought was like zombie filler. This was the best card in my deck. Absolutely. Like, just matter.
Grave Hate is so easy to underrate,
yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
We had the same conversation
really
with the Hive of the Eye Tyrant, the mainland from AFR, the black one, the Exile Summoner Graveyard. Where you're like, oh yeah, you know, it turns into a decently static creature land, and also it has this random upside. Sometimes
random upside
stuff.
Always is really important.
It turns out every single time I ever played that card, I only animated it and attacked with it just so I could get that trigger. I don't care about the 3/3; like it could have been a 1/1. Doesn't matter. I wanted that trigger.
Speaking of Grave Hate, that needs to be added to that queue.
Absolutely.
And I think that any graveyard hate that you have in the mono black cube that can like. Being main decked just as like the card itself needs to be kept in.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
It's just like the cycle.
Elspeth Conqueror's deck, Death is also like a standout.
Yeah.
Right.
The thing is, to Anthony's point, Allison, I think people will oftentimes, even if the card is perfectly serviceable as a main deck card, if they look at it and think, oh, that's Grave Hate, they'll take a sideboard. Even if it's like you can just play a Relic of Progenitus. It's just a 2-mana cycle.
Play a Scrabble.
Dothy Void Walk.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But like Tamarit. Does something, right? It's a body,
really
it's a low creature,
and,
it gains you life.
Tamarit is good.
Sure.
But it is also Grave Hate. It's a...
Black.
Right, but I'm saying,
card.
Like, yeah.
Black,
there's
black,
also a suite of cards that I think are very playable
Theros.
That people would probably overlook, even though they were main deckable.
That's fair.
Like,
pre-made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was a little bit disappointed nobody drafted aggro, and I had drafted that the previous time. It was kind of like...
Max's deck was an aggressive deck.
Huh.
But
I heard a lot about one drops that keep recurring themselves.
Yes. That's an aggro deck.
But it was also a cutthroat deck, basically. It was like a Blood Artist.
Yeah.
Deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the end of the pack was always like, oh, here's four cards that are like big, really aggressive one drops every time, which was a little sad to see. But I really do want aggro to work there because I think it is really fundamental to creating that whole structure of there being a range of archetypes and not just like everybody's drafting value soup.
Yeah,
so maybe the answer's just
a few
with that.
Too many
yeah,
3-mana sweepers.
Interesting.
That's
possible.
That's my thought.
And you think they're actually like suppressing aggro with too many sweepers?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's like Crypt Rats, there's Cry of the Carnarium, there's
Deluge,
there's
Cry isn't.
Plague
Cry of the Carnarium is not there, actually.
Oh, okay.
Specifically because it does hose those.
Drown in Sorrow is there.
Drown in Sorrow
is there. Ritual
Slip. Ritual also
not. There's like, there's the
Ritual
creature that
Ritual
creatures might. There's just a lot of like. There's a lot of board wipes, and it's not particularly difficult to not find them because I think they're in general. Underdrafted.
But the cheap aggressive threats are also the ones that are easy to recur. So,
yeah.
Like, as far as aggro decks that can recover from a board wipe,
there's
black
also,
is...
I would say, I was kind of amazed at how much removal was just going around the table. Like, you would have, like, a pack of 5 cards left, and there'd be, like, 3 pieces of removal left in it. There was so much
good removal.
Spot removal is not that good.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to recur, so it's more like you
it's
want to.
It's not that good, but everyone's playing Gontis.
I agree, but like just having like very easy access to a lot of spot removal.
Spot removal
to kill like your Rakdos character or like whatever. Any of the non-recursive aggro creatures are just, you have so much removal that like they don't matter.
Interesting.
It's not hard to brick wall aggro in the black cube. I actually am not scared of aggro in the cube except for a zombie deck that goes to, that goes like Lord Mastery. That's like the only thing I'm actually scared of when I'm just doing value crap like Skin Render, you know.
I'm always afraid of
ETBs.
Gary.
Gary's
I had Gary in my deck too.
Oh yeah,
not
that many good.
I played it one time, and it was in our last.
Oh, you didn't have anything good with recurring night.
Yeah,
it made one appearance.
Oh,
one appearance.
How did you win this deck?
Night Incarnate.
Sounds really mediocre.
It was
no, I don't think
it's incredible.
You never played Night Incarnate against me.
I've never played what?
Night Incarnate. I think I saw your whole deck.
Night Incarnate.
I was batting Mimic Fat.
Now, everyone was complaining a lot about Mimic Fat. Is Recurring Nightmare not the same, if not more?
No, people complain about Recurring Nightmare. I feel like the feeling is.
I think it's the same.
Because they're equally not interactive. That is
the
chief complaint about Recurring Nightmare.
It feels more on theme, and it is like a thing that we can't play in other places. So
messing with your opponent's graveyard is also really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Recurring Nightmare is a little bit, is slightly easier to interact with than Mimic Fat.
I feel like if you're
in
the
mono black
specifically,
also the graveyard interaction.
Because I think you were saying you just leave it in play, but you don't always.
Graveyard interaction
does
work against Mimic Fat too. You can fizzle the Imprint trigger.
But
once
like,
you get something good under Vat, it's you're good. Like when you play that card and you get like even just a Skin Render under it, you're like, I'm
yeah, just a Skin Render.
Just
like that's got to be top five.
I think
easy
I got
your
skin
render. Yeah, whatever. But what I'm saying, or like Fenlurker or something, like
okay, sure, Fenlurker,
or Burglar Rats or something like
okay,
that.
Yeah.
Like once
good.
You get
maybe
it
have to be four
as the player,
four Withered Rats in the cube.
But once you have that, you feel like you can't lose the
game.
I'm mad at you with that because on stream I messed up the fact that you could make a copy on your opponent's end step and it would survive to your turn, then you can make another copy on your turn. That's have two Mimic Fat copies simultaneously.
It's also a really complicated card.
It
is. Just so many like strange rules interactions.
Right.
Like we at some point like we were trying to figure out like Bontu, like Bontu goes underneath Mimic Fat, but also does it go back to the third of your library?
It gets exiled. I'm like,
Well that would go to the owner of the Bonchi puts it back in the bag.
That's what we came to ultimately, but it was like a confusing couple of minutes talking about like replacements, you know?
It was a very confusing few minutes.
Like, what do we do with, I don't even want your Bonchi, but like, what if I wanted it?
And you stopped for multiple minutes just to think about it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I do think if you like ban Mimic Fat, you're just putting like a target on Recurring Nightmare to be banned next.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, that's the next
like
rough edge.
How much density of just like, like if I had two matches that feel like they didn't matter because they just played one card I couldn't interact with versus one, that's a huge difference.
I also wonder if people are conditioned to think that Recurring Nightmare is not interactive and conditioned to being like, oh, Mimic Fat, I just need a disenchant. Oh, wait, I don't have a disenchant. This is mono black.
That seems like a little bit of Daniel's nodding over there in the corner.
Yeah, there's no artifact in the cube whatsoever.
Yeah.
There is a small modicum of enchantment hate. Like, there's like two or three.
You added some of the enchantment edicts?
I did, well, because they printed things that were also reasonable cards, like, whatchamacallit?
Feed the Swarm.
Yeah.
You could add stuff like Sorcerer's Spyglass or Pithy Needle.
Does Phoenix Swarm also destroy enchantments?
Yeah. I think that's kind of an interesting idea because I do like Revoker. Revoker's nice for that.
I also think cards like Urza's Saga would be kind of a cool addition to your cube. Because that can fetch up like stuff like Relic for Dead.
I will not allow Urza's Saga to be in more than one cube that I am.
Really?
In charge of.
Why?
This card's dumb. Nobody wants to flip this card.
It's not even busted in the.
Yeah, I mean,
Mono
like, you've got color. Like weird cards that are trying to make like an artifact deck going. Like what is it? Like the land
Lich.
That like gives something protection from artifacts? Or?
Okay, that's just because I have one of
you have Tower as a Magistrate and you like the heart, don't you?
No, I think it's cool.
fun when your opponent plays a Drafted War Gear and you just
I did just like jam every land that put in there.
I know AC gets really excited when we talk about how you should add Gate to Phyrexia to this model block.
Yeah, tell me about it. Give me a good sell. It destroys artifacts. I should have bought one when they were $20.
If you cut Recurring Nightmare, you should put Diabolic Servitude in. I think that's
okay.
A lot of the same play patterns, but like because it exiles, you can't loop it.
Yeah. I think
much worse illustration.
A point in recurring Nightmare's defense is you can just get rid of their graveyard.
Yeah.
And you don't always have access to graveyard tape, but it's not as oppressive as Mimic Bat, where like, okay, the creature's under there.
Yeah, it's over.
I can't get it out, right? You know, like it's just
right.
Under there.
Yeah,
we had some processors.
Do you have Meteor Golem in the cube?
I don't think so.
I love that.
You're gonna get the.
If you're gonna put Meteor Golem in, you gotta cut Mimic Bat because Meteor Golem Mimic Bat is on.
Yeah, that's rude.
And that will happen. The first time those two cards are in the cube together, just because.
So I would say one more thing about this giraffe to the black cube, which I think it's very easy, very when you're designing a cube, to sort of fall into trying to do what the cube is about, right? And just like, oh, I want like zombies and vampires to work, so then you kind of draft it, even though like it's hard to switch from the design mentality to the player mentality and just try and be a spike and win. And I did, like,
I mean, as the designer specifically,
as the designer,
like you,
yeah. And so like at the middle or late pack one, I had a couple like the really good vampire payoffs wheeled, and I was like, okay, let's jump into this vampire thing, and then I ended up getting just like Obnixilus and some like Bent Damnation very late in early pack two, I guess, and it's just like, you know what, if I'm honest with myself, I think I have a better chance to win if I just like play this control deck with a bunch of planeswalkers and a bunch of board wipes and let's set these vampires aside, and I did, and it was much more effective. And
how do you feel about that?
I would like the vampires to be better. I also
Crimson Bow, save us.
But like, yeah,
you're gonna get some good stuff from Crimson Bow.
Definitely. And I don't know if that was correct. I think I will say for myself as a player, I feel good about being able to transition better and think as a player more and try to win. But that also puts me in the space of wishing like, yeah, actually, like, yeah, these vampire payoffs are not quite as good as I want them to be.
Yeah, it's true. That's one hour.
After captivating vampire, Tom Walker's favorite magic. A magic card that Tom Walker knows about?
These cuts are too deep, Anthony. Literally, no one else in the room got that cut.
Tom Walker.
No one's going to get it.
Is he also banned in Commander?
Probably.
Tom Walker. He should be.
So, we're at an hour. I want to close with just a little speed round. Anybody that has questions, hot takes, you want to throw them out there, we can just end on that because I didn't think of a way to end. It was going to be awkward. I have one question for the group, especially for Parker and Kennedy, who played a lot with this card. I want to put just one copy of Delver of Secrets in my cube.
Mm.
What do you have to say about that? Do you think this is misguided?
Not anymore. They printed Dragon's Rage Channeler and Roggevon to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Right, Roggevon finally enables Delver.
Well,
yeah.
I had Delver of Secrets in my cube from the very, very first version of my cube. Because the first version of my cube is just, these are good cards that I have in my trade binder that I've seen Louis Scott Vargas draft on the Magic Online cube, and I just threw it in. And then eventually cut it because I was like, oh, I've learned more about this card, and I've learned it's really only good on turn one, and after that it's kind of a liability. I think that shortcut, though, is not necessarily entirely true, because if you can play it on turn five and spend only one mana, essentially committing a 3/2 flyer to the board, if you get flipped it reliably, it still seems like it's pretty good. I like the blue-red tempo deck.
Mm-hmm,
I want it to be good. You think it'll be okay?
Alex drafted a great example of this deck.
Well, it also had three Delvers, so like it was a lot better.
Yeah.
And also Dragon's Rage, so like.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's like every game you start with Delver, I won. Every game I did not start with Delver, I lost.
I also, so in Legacy, Delver is the worst threat in the deck.
It
yeah.
is now, yeah.
Yeah.
How the past 2 months have changed that deck.
Yeah. I think Dragon's Rage Channel is definitely a great inclusion.
I love that card. I am delighted with it.
I mean, you have upped your number of cantrips like considerably in blue, so
I mean,
yeah, there are a lot
of over the span of like 2 years, probably.
Yeah. So I'm
there's
saying
a lot
that
of
like,
cantrips. Oh, since it was in the cube, yes, that is
yes.
true. Yeah, it was in the cube a long time ago, back when it was less focused.
I'm
probably gonna try it.
Yeah,
hurts me that it's like not a control card and it's not flexible, but neither is Sprite Dragon. I like that card a lot. That card's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Who else has got a hot take?
It's a little hot down here.
It is kind of hot down here. We're going to go up with Jeff and Turbo Cube shortly.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Turbo time.
I will release everyone as soon as we get something funny to end on.
I don't have a hot take, but I do have something I wanted to add.
Okay.
I really appreciated playing Parker's Cube because every single cube that we've played this weekend has been a really tight 360. And I think that like as cube designers, that's what people gravitate towards, at least for their like first cube. Or just like what this playgroup does. And it's just really nice to play a little bit more laid back, breaking the rules, cube. It's just a lot of fun.
Thank you.
It was, you know, I always enjoy drafting, but
there's something to be said about just drafting like a looser format. It's just more fun, you know? Mm.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I loved it. It was great.
I'm so glad.
And I had no basics in my deck. I had 17 lands, no basics.
Yeah, because you're not allowed to put basics in your deck.
I thought about putting in a custom rule where you can only have a maximum of 5 basics of each color.
Oof.
Just to like clamp down on the crazy
just
Daniel
like stop
decks.
Daniel?
Yes.
Just to stop Daniel from whatever you're owing?
I'm really glad I didn't. Because otherwise...
I would have been real sad.
Daniel
would have
been sad.
I appreciate Daniel so much. And everyone else in the playgroup, especially like... It's emblematic of like every time I think I understand magic, Daniel comes along. And I'm like, I have so much to learn, and I love that. Is that it?
I really hope that we do this again.
Yes.
We can make this happen again.
This is an exhausting weekend.
Hopefully next
right?
year will be even easier because it won't be
over.
Still in a giant global pandemic. That would be nice.
All
right.
It's
so a year from now,
that's
we're
the
still
in your podcast.
Yeah. That audio clip next year when the fucking Omega variant is like still ravaging the entire country.
Oh, we have another.
Max, wait, we're about to end the recording. You have like 2 minutes to say whatever you want to say about the entire weekend, everything you know about Cube. Get it on wax. I'll get close.
Wait. What's Max's nickname?
Oh, I didn't do one because Max said he wouldn't be here.
I wasn't
going
to be here.
Max, late to the recording.
Max, I wasn't going to be here.
Yeah.
Drafted well, played good games. I had fun.
Great.
I'll do it again.
All right, thank you. Thanks for listening to Love and Paper Radio. All of our music is produced by DJ James Nasty. All of the magic cards and voices of the coast and all the talking is done by 12 people.
Woo.
12 people in Anthony's basement and it's getting a little... hot.
Hello.
Let's go upstairs. Thanks for talking magic with me, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, Andy.